Welcome to the show. Obviously, it's been a tough time for the organization, the concern about health. So let's start there. The players, I think it's 13 tests now. It was 14, but one turned out to be a false positive. The 13, how is their health? Are you expecting all of them to be able to return and play?
You know, they'll all return. I don't know that they'll all play this weekend. I think when you look at how it impacts everyone differently, the age of the individuals is impacted. The younger you are, the less impact you typically have. And then are there any underlying health issues that tie to COVID that make it a worse experience than it already is? I think those are the questions that we have to answer, and we certainly won't know all the answers to those questions until the guys get back in the building and back on the field for the next few days.
You know, interesting time for sure for you and your role. You know, how much communication were you having with the players or the coaches, the training staff, just to try to keep everybody, you know, feeling confident that they were going to be okay no matter kind of, or you'd give the support required as they were going through this?
Yeah, I really relied upon our administration staff downstairs as well as our general manager and head coach to feed me information. They collaborate on an hourly basis, really, with our athletic trainer, and that's where all the information comes through and from between them and our medical doctor, Dr. Naidu. We typically get a fairly decent amount of information, although it can come at sporadic times throughout the day. And certainly the last 4 days, it's been positive because we've now gone 4 days in a row with no new cases, and that's the key to getting back on the field. And now once we do, we just have to make sure it doesn't happen again.
And that's one, like, we've seen this. People can do everything right, and you can still get COVID. So, you know, I don't know if there's anything. Do you feel the organization has to do different? Is there anything the players have to do different? And do you think you'll see an increase in players getting vaccinated?
I think so. I think we'll see an increase in players getting vaccinated. And I really like and appreciate your point around you can do everything right and still catch it. I always give the example of if you're married or have a boyfriend or girlfriend and you're doing your part because you're in tier one, which our players are, and you don't go to the grocery store to limit and eliminate risk, and your spouse has to because you have to eat food. He or she comes back from the grocery store having picked it up in a brief conversation with someone they don't know, unbeknownst to her or him. They give it to you. You, in turn, don't know you have it. You bring it into the locker room, and here we are with an outbreak. That's how quickly this happens, again, to your point about doing everything right. So we're just going to have to be more diligent about what we're doing and when we're doing it, and make sure that we strictly adhere to all the protocols.
Chris Preston joining us, Elks President and CEO. Chris, you know, has the league been in touch with you, kind of seeing what new ideas you have as well, like you just discussed, and are they going to maybe try to work with you to add those into the protocol for other teams?
Yeah, everything has to be collectively bargained. So those that are vaccinated versus those that are unvaccinated, the vaccinated players have greater privileges than the unvaccinated players. So for us to go back and change that protocol, we have to go through the players' union, and typically that might take some time. I think we can do some little things just to make sure that things are as they should be, but I don't think our guys necessarily need that. I think this was a great wake-up call for the organization as a whole, and in particular when you're dealing with, you know, 80 to 100 guys downstairs, just how quickly things can get out of control.
Chris Preston, President and CEO of the Edmonton Elks, joins us. Chris, also the organization announced today enhanced COVID-19 protocols for fans, similar to the orders and all the other teams in the CFL, that fans will need to be fully vaccinated or required to show either by showing electronic or paper proof of vaccination, or you can provide a negative test result collected within 48 hours of the game's scheduled start time. And of course, fans 12 and under will be exempt. What was the change, I guess, as to why this was announced? And it doesn't go into play until the home games in October, but why was it announced today and not earlier?
Yeah, I think the responsibility around it certainly is at the forefront. And more than anything, as you know, we've been following the provincial health guidelines since the onset of this, and we're still in a situation where we don't have to do anything because there are no restrictions, and we knew that wasn't the right thing to do going forward. We needed to provide a protectionary layer for our vendors, for our fans, and for our staff, and thus the implementation of this. In terms of the timing, realize we have 1,600 employees on a game day, so if you go by the Alberta average of vaccination, that's roughly 80-20, so that means 320 of those 1,600 people would need to be vaccinated. We need to give them the runway to do that. We also needed to give fans and other people an opportunity to take that time to be prepared for October 15th. That's why the gap.
What does that look like for the fans that they come in to present that their vaccination, the information they have been vaccinated?
Yeah, we'll just have to have more people outside the gates and be more organized, and the line to get in will have to extend further down. So before you get to the gate, we'll have somebody there checking your vaccination record and also checking if you decide to bring a negative COVID test as well. And it would need to match your identification. And once we see that, away you go. We check your bag, and in the stadium you are.
Chris, we've had a lot of texters wondering, how can you ask fans to do that if you don't require the players to do it? But I'm kind of counter because I think the players either are vaccinated, and those who don't are getting showing a negative test to get on the field, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Keep in mind that our players are tested every day, so we know what result they may or may not have, good, bad, or indifferent. And keep in mind our players are unionized, so again, anything we do has to be collectively bargained. That's the difference between the players and even myself. I'm not in a union, therefore it can be mandated to me and I can mandate it to my other employees. As a part of a union, that's a little bit steeper hill to climb. I'm sure those conversations are being had at a much higher level than mine, but keep in mind our players are tested every day.
And Chris, what was the reaction, or what has been the reaction? I know it only was announced today, but it's been talked about for a while from fans. Did most fans applaud this decision? Or were they sending you emails, notes saying, hey, we'd like to see this? Or were many on the other side saying, don't do it?
You know, I think it's too early to tell. We haven't had that many calls thus far today. And those that have, some want their money back, some more than anything just want to have a discussion to better understand it. I would say that's been the majority of our calls, but I think it's going to take a couple of days to understand the breadth of it. It certainly would seem that it's probably going to be in about an 80-20 split. That seems kind of the natural, as I've spoken to other teams around the league and when they announced it. So we expect more positive than negative, simply because it is a precautionary action that we took as responsible community citizens to protect those within the community when they come to our games.
And, Chris, for season ticket holders who elect not to be vaccinated, can they get reimbursed on the final three games of their season tickets?
Yeah, they can. We certainly prefer not to do that. That's the flexibility around the negative COVID test. You can certainly go get a rapid test for free, probably in a number of different places, which, again, is why we didn't want to jam it down their throat. We wanted to give them the option, if they chose not to get vaccinated, to just go get a test, show us your negative, prove to us that it's safe for you to be in the stadium, and away you go.
Chris Preston joins us, president and CEO of the Elk. Chris, can you gauge maybe where your team is at? Because, you know, we've seen other organizations, the Vancouver Canucks, the Buffalo Sabres, had to go through this where they had, massive amount of cases. The difference was they had to play a real shortened schedule. So far you haven't. You might only have one game to be made up, but can you kind of give us a sense of how people in the organization are feeling right now, physically and mentally?
I would say everybody's more than drained. And the unfortunate part of it is it takes you out of your routine, and it applies a lot of pressure. And then it takes a lot of thought process, as to how to get out of the situation and how to have prolonged success going forward. Not only is the shortened schedule different, the fact that we have a lot more players than the traditional National Hockey League does as well in terms of practice and travel, et cetera. It's just a bigger ship to move, and there's more risk when you have more people, and that's our biggest challenge. We can certainly monitor these individuals when they're in the building, and in some places when they're outside of the building, but we certainly can't control where they choose to go and where they choose not to go, and they're all human, and I think even though you may be thinking you're not doing anything wrong, just by the normal course of your everyday action, you do it, and then 5 seconds later you go, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. That's not within the protocol. So there's challenges all around, and right now we're a bit beat up.
That's understandable for sure. Do you have any idea, Chris, on a possible rescheduling of the Toronto game?
Yeah, working on it. I was working on it the last 2 days of last week, going into Friday evening and a bit over the weekend and some today as well. I think we're headed in a direction to reschedule the game. I've gotten over a number of obstacles to this point. Have two to go. But feel good about where we are today and just waiting on a couple of answers. And I'm hoping to have those by the end of the day or first thing in the morning.
Would it include just fitting it in the schedule, or would it possibly be, you know, moving around some other games to make it work for both you and Toronto and the other teams?
Yeah, it's going to require the help of others to answer your question in a very evasive way. It's going to require the help of some others as well, and I've gotten the help that I need, which is much appreciated. I can certainly explain that in its entirety once we get this thing done. But there's just a couple more steps that are needed to go, and frankly, there aren't very many holes in the schedule, and that's one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge, is where do we put it, how do we do it, and what does that look like for our players and coaches?
Yeah, you know, that you talked about where to put it, and it's going to be a tight window, obviously, or a tighter window than they're used to. You know, how much discussion do you have with your coach and maybe some leaders of the players on your team to say, hey, like, does this make sense? I know it's not perfect, but, you know, it seems like it's probably multiple layers that have to be sorted out about when can we do it and does it make sense?
Yeah, unfortunately, the players wouldn't have a ton of say in this just because, again, we have such a small window. I would go to our general manager who would go to our coaches, and we would all have this conversation together as to here's the window or windows we're looking at. We all understand what this does to us as individuals and the human body of the athlete. And then secondarily, the Players Association, again, speaks on behalf of the players. So we go directly to the Players Association for approval. And again, since everything has to be collectively bargaining, they are the voice piece for the players.
Chris, I really appreciate your honesty and candor on that. Hope the organization and everybody's healthy and gets through it all. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having me.